watching or will watch this or part one about experiencing personal revival. You might recall that we began in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, which is the account of Moses and the burning bush. And you know, God doesn't need to provide a burning bush to get your attention. But sometimes he will do just that. Show you something or speak something that makes absolutely no sense. The bush was on fire and it wasn't consumed. But more than that, that would have been awesome, and it was awesome, I'm sure. God himself saw fit to speak to Moses. And he does the same to those who make themselves available for that kind of encounter. And so we talked about experiencing personal revival, having a personal encounter. You know, the Bible says, or actually not just the Bible, but Jesus himself said in the Gospel of John, John 7, 8, I believe it is, said, "He or she who believes in me, from him or her shall flow rivers of living water." That's revival. That's personal experiencing the move of God in you and through you. And this is the time we're living in where God wants to pour forth of himself. It's not just some arbitrary event or happening. He does it through his church, through you and I, through his sons, through his daughters, through his kids. And so we saw that Moses had a personal encounter. We see later on, Exodus 33:11, God spoke to him face to face in the holy place. This was unheard of in an Old Testament context. It's like you didn't approach God. You didn't experience that kind of thing, never mind him speaking to you individually. But God saw something in Moses, and God birthed something in Moses that would be manifest later, where a stammerer, a man who had zero confidence in himself, and actually that's a good thing, would lead the nation out of slavery into the promised land. Only God can do that in someone and empower them to do just that. And so God gave him a word of promise in Exodus 3:2. He said, "When you lead the people out." He didn't say if. God was speaking forth a promise to Moses. He said, when he spoke this, Moses was at Mount Horeb. He said, "When you lead the people out, you will worship at this mountain." They hadn't gone into Egypt yet. And God said, "When you lead them out, you're going to worship on this very spot where you're having an encounter with me." he was exposed and humbled. God said, don't come near, because this is, take your shoes off, this is holy ground. And then God actually got angry with him because he had already spoken the word with the power to fulfill that word, and Moses was making excuses. Church, don't make excuses. When God asks you to do something, he knows that he's chosen you to do it. Not somebody else, you. And he also provides the provision and the power to bring it to completion. So we need to embrace the plan of God, including the dealings of God, because they are designed, according to Galatians 4:19, to form the very image of Jesus Christ in us. Only God could do such a thing. Only God could desire to do such a thing, to form Christ in you, the hope of glory, as it says in the New Testament. And so this training in righteousness that he is endeavoring to accomplish and get you to stay in step and align with in your life, it's so that we can be useful to him, so we can serve him wholeheartedly. 2 Timothy 2:21, be a vessel for honor, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Or I should say, for every God work. It's not just the good things, it's what God wants us to do, what God has ordained us to do. And that brings us up to today. Point number three, educated and instructed. Exodus 4, verses 12 and 14. Verse 12, and I will teach you what to say. Now remember, the context is Moses didn't think he was God's man. Moses did not think he was qualified, called, or chosen. That makes no difference when God has a plan. He said to Moses, I will teach you what to say. It says elsewhere in the Old Testament, Psalms 81:10, open your mouth and I will fill it. Not just with words, but with words that will cause something to happen, something that will release something in the spirit world, something that will bring about change, healing, deliverance, salvation, the work of the kingdom. That's what it's referring to here. The Passion Translation renders that verse in Psalms 81:10 this way, the words you speak, so shall they be. That's why we have to watch what comes out of this gate. Because if we speak negative, negative happens. So we need to speak a positive report. We need to speak the word that God speaks. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, which is quoted in Romans 10:8, the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. Doesn't mean, oh, look at that. Look what God said. No, it says, God said it, now you do something with it. You put it into action. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't ponder. Faith acts on the word that is full of God's power and provision. And if that wasn't enough, Exodus 4, verse 15, God speaks again and says, I will teach you what to do. I don't know what to do, Lord. Have you ever said that? Yeah. I've been there. But God says, and you can depend upon it, I will teach you what to do. You don't have to worry about it. And here's the great thing. You don't have to worry about the results. You just have to be obedient. God will be responsible for the results of his word. He will fulfill his word. When we're willing to do it, when we're willing to put it into practice. Psalms 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And see, if someone's legalistic, they will say, God's watching you. That's really not the spirit of the verse here. It's like, he's watching you to make it a reality that you will succeed, that you will walk in his word, you will practice his word. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It is not about you. When will we get this? That work he's doing in you is for him, to show forth his glory in an imperfect life, in an imperfect vessel, to show the world that he can use people who have flaws if they're willing to step out in faith. If they're willing to be taught what to say and what to do, God will use them. God will use you. There's no exception to the word of God. When God says things like this, the power goes forth, the provision goes forth to fulfill his word. For our part, we need to seek him and be serious about it. Not just throw up Hail Mary type prayers, hoping God may come through, praying God may answer. No, believing that he will come through, believing that he will answer. To seek him and then submit to the Holy Spirit, to the guidance and the direction and the instruction of Holy Spirit. It's not complicated. He will provide what he asks for you to do. He'll come through. And he'll give you the words. He'll give you the strength, the boldness, the confidence. He'll give you what you need to step out in faith. You know, let's be honest. The realm of faith can be a scary place. And why is that? Because you know, and I know, if God doesn't come through, you look foolish. But that is never a reason to not exercise faith. That is never a reason to be fearful or hesitant to speak his word, or to obey what Holy Spirit asks of us. I'd be much more concerned with this, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those who come must believe first that he is, who he is, who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder, that he will honor his servants. He will honor the words he fills your mouth with of those who diligently seek him. Now, even this morning, Holy Spirit was giving me additional material at my kitchen table. Point number four, equipped and empowered. From Exodus chapter 4, verses 17 and 21. Verse 17, God speaking once again to Moses. Saying, you shall take in your hand this staff. Pay attention. You shall take in your hand this staff. And what? You shall perform the signs. It's not someone else's staff. It's not someone else's calling or assignment. If God asks you to say something or do something, it's your staff. It's your anointing that he's going to release. You don't have to be like somebody else or try to be like somebody else. He's made you unique and he's anointed you uniquely. He's equipped and empowered you uniquely. What I noticed this morning was Moses already had the staff. God didn't give him a new staff. He had it. God anointed what he already had when it was submitted to God. That's Bible truth. Take this staff and perform the signs. And we can look at further on in the book of Exodus. Exodus 7, 9, he used the staff, it became a serpent in Moses' hand. He turned the water into blood. In Exodus 7:19. And eventually, and see, when we entrust the anointing that God gives us to him, it's a progressive learning. But it's also a progressive level of assignment. So we find ultimately in Exodus 20, it's not a different staff, it's the same staff. And God says, extend the staff over the sea. And lo and behold, what happened? It says the waters piled up in a heap. And they walked across on dry land. I don't know if you know that, but you know, it's pretty muddy and moist underneath any body of water, and it just doesn't, unless miraculously dry up, it just doesn't dry up. Except God spoke, God honored the stretching out of the staff and the anointing he had placed upon Moses' life. Are you still with me? Exodus 4:21. God speaking again. See that you perform all the wonders which I have put in what? Your power. Don't worry about what God has asked you to do. Worry about doing what God asks you to do. You know, I'm sure God didn't ask him to part the Red Sea originally. He started out by turning the staff into a serpent. He started out doing small things. And the Bible says, he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. Will be faithful in much. Because this is a journey. God is teaching us. God is instructing us. God is equipping us and empowering us all along the way. We have to stay in step. We have to stay in alignment. We have to stay in faith. We have to stay in step with the Lord. Yes, Lord, here I am, send me. You know, if somebody told me years ago at 73 I'd be going to Africa, I would have said, huh? Who, me? Would not even enter my mind. But God. See to it that you perform all the wonders which I have put in your power. And then we see later on in Exodus 11:10, it says, Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh. It wasn't just one. It wasn't just two. There's a whole list of things. And God could have killed Pharaoh for not responding the first time, let my people go. But God was demonstrating something to the enemy, and he was demonstrating something to God's people. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Jesus speaking. All authority. Does that sound pretty ironclad? All authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. You, he's speaking to his disciples, and ultimately to disciples that would come. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them all that I commanded you. And what? Lo, I am with you always. You know, oftentimes when we get doubtful or fearful or anxious, we're not looking for Jesus. Why don't we look for Jesus in our circumstances? He says, I will be with you. The same thing he said to Moses, he says to you and I. I will be with you. Luke 9:1, giving you power over demons and power to heal. You don't have to have a healing ministry. It's great. That's a specific anointing to be used by God in the area of healing or casting out demons. You just have to take God at his word and exercise the word. Luke 10:19, I've given you authority over all, does that sound pretty ironclad? Over all the power of the enemy. You don't have to rebuke the devil. He's already a defeated foe. He's a loser. Don't waste your time with him. Commit your time to him. Follow him, the living one. And Jesus said in John 17:14, I have given them thy word. This word right here. The Bible. Things that are recorded in this timeless book. He didn't give you the word just so you could have a head knowledge. I mean, if you, and some people have memorized the entire Bible, but if they don't put it into practice, what good is it? It's just an intellectual exercise. Acts 1:8. Wait until the whole power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see, you don't want to move before God says to move, and you don't want to wait when God says, you want to stay in step, you want to walk in the anointing and the provision and the power of God. And you need to believe that you've received it. You see, you don't have to look at somebody else. No, God has provided everything you need. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to you everything pertaining to life and godliness. You can't make excuses. Well, you can, but it's not going to hold water with him, because the Bible says he's given you everything you need. He's equipped, he's empowered you with everything you need, and you just need to act upon his direction and his power. You know, when the anointing is for his glorification, it's not for yours. Think about that. He honors you, yes, because you're willing to step out in faith, and he anoints that faith, he empowers that faith, but ultimately it's to draw people to him, to glorify him, to extend his kingdom on earth. So number 5, enter in and experience what he is saying and what he is doing. There's no point in saying something that God is not saying. And there is definitely no point in doing something God's not doing and then expecting God to anoint it. He will not. So, his desire is for you and I to be participants, not spectators. Not wait for somebody else. Ask the Lord, is it me? Are you asking me? Don't try to figure it out up here. That's going to get you nowhere. How about this? Expect every day divine appointments. That God has people in your path. God will put people in your path to minister to say things, and to do things in His name. How would your life be different if before you left the house every day, you said, "What do you have for me to do today, Jesus? Who do you have for me to speak to?" Expect divine appointments and pray for the Holy Spirit to alert you to them. You see, you know, life is busy. That's no secret, right? It's busy. There's so much going on. There's so much noise that wants to run interference between you and the purposes and plans of God for your life. So how about this? Pray, Holy Spirit. You know, you have alerts on your phone, right, these days, to remind you of things. How about having an alert in the Spirit? Holy Spirit, get my attention. Stop me in my tracks if you have to. I don't want to miss what you want me to do, God. Pray for the Holy Spirit to alert you to them. And be wise. Expect resistance. Expect pushback. Pharaoh kept saying no. You know, I think that statistically, you have to invite a person at least 10 times before they come to church. That's just a statistic. Are you willing to keep inviting people at the insistence of Holy Spirit? Or are you going to give up? Oh, they're never going to come. The power of the tongue. Don't ever say they're never going to come. Jesus didn't give up on you, and we shouldn't give up on people who need Jesus. Pharaoh was the enemy of God's plan for God's people, for God's promises, and the fulfillment of entering in to the promised land. What was called the land of milk and honey. I don't know what that is, but that sounds good. That sounds good to me when God says it. I don't have to figure it out. I just have to say, God said it, that's enough. Declare His word. You have the authority to take this word and declare it over your spouse, over your children, over your grandchildren, over your church, over your workplace, over your school. Just fill in the blank. You have been given that authority. And this is a season where we need to exercise that God-given authority and declare His word, the word of God with power. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know, I don't think I ever noticed this, but in my margin in the Bible it says, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. That's a little bit different than through Him. It's saying, I am who He says I am. I am who He says I am. No one's going to try to convince me otherwise. I'm going to declare His word for His glory and for His honor. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you. When are you going to start believing this? Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. That's talking about the devil. That's talking about the very enemy who came to rob, kill, and destroy you. Greater is he that's in you. It's time we start believing God's word and speaking it into impossible situations. They may be impossible for you, but they are definitely not impossible for him. It says in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to who? To them who believe. All things are possible to them who believe. You mean the outlandish, the ridiculous? Yeah. You want me to do what? You want me to talk to who? Yeah. Expect that. Because you are going to have to make a decision whom you serve. Do you serve yourself or do you serve him? If you serve him, you're going to have to listen to what he's asking of you. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame through the blood and through the word of their testimony. The word of your testimony is your track record of listening and then responding in obedience. That's your testimony. Listening, waiting, moving in God's timing, and responding in obedience. That's your testimony that no one can take away. And that's what all this stuff that you've had to go through has been building in you. A testimony for his glory. And it says in that same verse, Revelation 12:11, and they did not love their life even unto death. So yeah, you have to die to yourself, maybe even die physically in these coming days. What they're doing now is just a preview. I mean, we haven't experienced here, but there are Christians worldwide that are dying for their faith. They are actually being put to death for what they believe and who they believe. This is God's victorious church that he's talking about in Revelation. They did not love their life even unto death. So, first, renew your love for him. Your first love. That first time you understood that you were loved like no one else has ever loved you. That's what changed me. And that's what keeps me, knowing that that love is never going to change that he has for me. Even when I mess up, and I do mess up. Renew your love for Jesus. Renew your commitment. Renew your covenant of salvation. Ask for fresh vision. You know, it's easy to get worn down and worn out if we're not speaking faith, walking out our faith. As the Bible says, walking out our salvation with fear and trembling. Doesn't mean being afraid. It means taking this life seriously, doing and walking in the calling that God has on your life. Ask for fresh vision. Ask for a deeper understanding. Talks about that in Ephesians. Of his love, of his grace. And I can assure you, as you do these things, as you receive these things from him and him alone, you will, not might, not may, you will experience personal revival. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church.
Just wanted to catch everybody. Look, we have more soup than we've ever had downstairs, so please come down. It's one of my favorite soups, hamburger and zucchini and peppers and tomatoes. And so please come on down. We got some ham and cheese sandwiches. I hope everybody can come down.
Yeah, also, I'm not going to interfere with the lunch, so I will bring up a banana box full of the, remember you got meals last Sunday? Many of you enjoyed them. I'll bring them up and put them on the table here with the Panera and so forth, so that we don't interfere with the lunch process downstairs. Anyway, have an awesome day.